in this running time, it is polynomial in both n and 1 over x. Okay? So it's polynomial in both variables. But this one, it's not polynomial of these two, because 1 over epsilon is on the shoulder of n. So this is even more unrealistic, because you can imagine if epsilon is 0.01, then it's already n to the power 100, right? But it's just not acceptable, right? So this one we call p-tus. If you can separate n and epsilon, 1 over epsilon, like this, then it's called f-p-tus. Okay. Well, so now I'm going to use about 10 minutes to review the concept of NP-hars. How many of you have learned NP-har? Raise your hand. NP-har. Only very few, okay. Well, so let me just start with an explanation of NP before I show this drawing, okay? So what is NP? Now, before you know NP, you have to know what is P, right? P is easy. It means that it has a polynomial time error, right? Okay? So P is very easy. Now, what is NP? NP does not mean not P, okay? Remember, it's not. It's not P, okay? This N is non-deterministic. What does it mean? It means that if I give you a solution to the problem, you can verify very easily whether this solution is correct. Just like Knapsack, okay? Knapsack, if I give you a bunch of items telling you, okay, this is the solution I give you, can you check whether this solution, the total value, is above a threshold? Can you check? Yes, right? You can also check whether the total cost is within budget, right? Okay, so basically, for the decision problem, decision version of the Knapsack, it is an NP problem, because I give you a solution, you can check whether budget is okay, whether value is okay, right? Okay, so it's very easy to check. But for the optimization version of the Knapsack, it's not true. I give you a set of items. Do you know whether this set has the largest value possible? You don't know, right? If you know, you already solved that problem. So even if I give you a solution, you do not know whether this solution is the best. Okay? So usually, for decision version of the problem, it is within NP. Okay, it's within NP. But for optimization, it's not in NP. But then later on, I'm going to show you those NP completeness or NP hard. Okay. So what is NP completeness? NP completeness means all the problems in NP. All the problems in NP, they can be transformed into your problem. This is your problem. Okay. In other words, if you solve your problem, you can solve all the problems in NP. So in some sense, you know, your problem is very difficult. Your problem is the most difficult problem in all the NP problem. Right? Okay? So this is called NP complete. Okay? So this is NP. The then your problem is called NP complete. And then this corresponds to the decision version of the Knapsack. Okay. Now, if you can show some problem, all the NP problem can become your problem. I made one small mistake here. It's a critical mistake. So you have to also show your problem is within NP. Okay. So if both are true, okay. So all the NP problems they can transform into your problem. And your problem is also in NP, then we say it's NP complete. Okay? Now, if this condition is missing, which means your problem, even if I give you a solution, you cannot verify, you cannot check whether the solution is correct. In that case, we say your problem is NP hard. Okay? So NP hard problems, they are not even, they may not be in NP. Okay? So they are even more. Alright? Okay, so among the NP hard problems, there are two different levels of hardness. One is called strong NP, complete. The other is normal. Okay. So what is strong NP hard or NP complete? So let me just omit this one. Okay? What's the strong? Strong is even if I give you as input in a very non-efficient way. For example, you know we have the knapsack problem. Remember the value, right? Each item has a value. So this item has a value 1,000. Previously, we say when I give you the input 1,000, I only need to use 10 bits, right? Only 10 bits necessary. So now I say I will give you 1,000 bits to input my value 1,000. Okay? In that case, the problem is still hard. Then we say it's strongly hard. Okay? Now that also means knapsack is not strongly hard. Because knapsack has a running time, it has an algorithm whose running time is n squared v star, right? So if you input v star, really in the scale of v star, it's not hard, right? It becomes linear in v star. So that's polynomial time. So if I give you input, give you weight in the scale of the weight itself, then the knapsack is no longer difficult, right? So then we say knapsack is not strongly unclear. Knapsack is only normal. Alright? Okay? Well, so this is the difference between strong and normal. Now, let me highlight what I already told you before, right? And then, sometime later in this lecture, I'm going to show you how to prove MP harness. Alright? But now, I guess I will not explain the procedure because there's no concrete example. And for this part, I already explained to you the difference. Alright? Okay, so the example here, I guess I'll also skip. This is only one possible example to show them the problem is MP hard. Okay. Good. So, as I promised, I spent less than 10 minutes to cover something which should be covered within maybe 2 hours lecture in your undergrad study. But because we need to cover a lot more materials, so for this part, I'll just cover to this extent. Alright? Now, of course, in the quiz or final exam, I will not test you how to prove the class. That's too much. It's undergrad requirement. Alright? Okay. So now we'll seriously look at some other interesting graph problems that will help you understand better the approximation algorithm. Alright? And also, from now on, you need to pay special attention because there will be some bonus points arising. Okay? Now, the first graph problem we talked about is called vertex cover. What is vertex cover? Vertex cover, let me show you a figure. You have a graph. This is a graph. And the graph basically consists of nodes and edges, right? Okay, so those circles are nodes. The lines are edges, okay? Every edge connects two nodes or two vertices, okay? Well, so for this picture, vertex cover says, I want to set up a set of vertices such that every edge is touched by at least one vertex you choose. Then when I show you this solution, can anyone tell me whether the black nodes are the solution or the white nodes are the solution? Remember, every edge has to touch at least one vertex you chose. Well, very good, white. Okay? So the white point, the white one is vertex cover. Okay? Now because every edge, right, you at least have one white one, right? Every such edge, at least one white vertex. So selecting all the whites will be a valid vertex cover solution. Okay? Basically, vertex cover means using vertex to cover all the edges. Alright? Okay, good. Now, you know, you also have an optimization version of the vertex cover, right? We want to find a vertex cover whose vertices is as few as possible. Okay? Alright, minimum vertex cover. Alright, if you can see that, 3 to cover all good. You never select 4, right? Now, this problem is a MP-hard, although I'm not going to prove why it's a MP-hard. And then we'll go for the approximation algorithm. Okay. Now, this one is different from knapsack because this one, we are trying to minimize the number of vertices we chose, right? So it's a minimization problem. We still do division like the your solutions quality divided by optimal solutions quality. Okay, this division, okay, this ratio, if it's less than or equal to alpha for every possible instance, then we say it is an alpha dot product solution. Okay, well, so now here for minimization problem, this alpha will always be larger than one, right? You are doing worse than optimal. You have to get more variances, right? Compare optimal solution. Okay, so now let's see what can we do. For vertex number, one very straightforward idea is I will select one vertex which can cover some edges which are not covered yet. Right? Okay, so this is a very straightforward idea. But which vertex do you select? How to select one can cover a lot of edges, right? So this is your some kind of greedy algorithm, right? I want to select one vertex which can cover a lot of edges, right? Or I can cover the most number of edges. Then this vertex must be very, very, very valuable, right? Okay, good. So this is our second idea. Pick a vertex which can cover most. For example, in this instance, what's the algorithm? Well, so you see, the first node you pick is this one, right? Because this one, if you pick it, it can cover some edges, right? Okay. After picking this one, then the other edges are just the same, right? This is one, three independent edges, and then you can select one from each edge. Then that will be your solution, right? The greedy solution. Okay, so the greedy solution, you take four nodes. But what's the optimal solution here? Oh, three, right? You just take the middle three vertices, they can cover all the edges, right? Okay, well, good. Now, but this method is not... One thing is, it's not optimal for sure, because you already see the optimal is 3, and then the yellow one is only it's 4, right? Then it can be even worse. So the figure on the right, it shows how bad it can be. Now we have two layers of nodes. On the top layer, you have n nodes, n vertices. Okay? In the lower layer, you have different colors. And each different color, they mean different things. For example, R6. R6 means this node connects to all the nodes above. Okay. Now, of course, here we are using example of n equal to 6. Okay. N equal to 6. That's why we call R6. So basically, this blue node connects to every node on the first layer. Right. And then R5 is what? It connects to 5 nodes on above. Okay. 5 nodes. 4, I connect to 4 nodes. And then 3. Well, 3 is the first. Different thing. So 3 will connect to 3 nodes in the top layer, and then you have another R3 node connecting to another R3 node on the upper layer. So basically, the construction looks like this. Every Ri has so many nodes, n over I, rounding down. Okay? So basically, try to cover a certain number of nodes on the upper level, and then you need to have multiple copies if you, well, have to, right? Cover as many as possible the upper level nodes. Okay? So, you see here, we have two R3 nodes, and then three R2 nodes, right? You have three R2 nodes. Because R2 nodes can only cover two nodes above, but you have all together 6. So you have to cover 2, 2, and 2, 3, 2, right? So you have to maintain 3 R2 nodes. So by doing this, which node has the largest degree? Sorry, I didn't tell you what is degree yet. But degree is the number of neighbors or this node connected. Okay? Then R1 is not there. R1 is actually virtual. Nothing. Okay, R1 is nothing. Yeah, R1 should be nothing. Yeah. Okay. So looking at all the colors here, alright, and all the connections here, which one is the largest? So actually, R1, you can also say I have some individual thing connecting this. But anyway, the largest degree one, one candidate is R6. Right? Because R6 has degree 6. All the above one has degree 5. And these are degree 5, 4, 3, 2. So they are not as big as 6. So R6 is the largest input rank, largest neighbor, largest number of neighbors. Okay, so your greedy method will take R6 first. Then after taking R6, because blue lines are gone, so now the upper layer only has degree 4 at most, right? And then your R5 becomes the largest degree rank. Okay, so by some thinking, you know, oh, then the greedy algorithm will take R6 first, and then take R5, and then take R4, right? And then take R3, and then R2. Okay, until I take all the R nodes, then I do not need to take anyone as well because they are the node edge are remaining, right? So if I take all the nodes in the second layer, then node edge will show up, right? They are all gone, they are all covered. So your solution takes all the covered nodes. Now, how many covered nodes do you have? You need to say it's n over I. Take a rounding down, right? So this I can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Okay. So it would be roughly n over 1. Okay. So now I'm cheating a bit, right? Because I'm cheating that R1 also connects to the upper layer. Okay. So R1 has altogether n nodes, and they are connecting to those upper layers. But it's okay. It's just an issue of breaking time. So you have this. Right? Okay? So this is how many nodes you have in the bottom layer. Now, for this one, you take all the n out. N will be a common term. And inside is 1 plus half plus n. Right? Okay. So what's this? What do we call it? The whole sequence here. What's the name of this sequence? 1 plus half plus third plus fourth. Did you? Yeah, so in Chinese I know you know the name. So in English it's called harmonic sequence. Yeah, harmonic sequence. So the sum of harmonic sequence is how much? Yeah, log n. So this is the sum of harmonic sequence. So altogether, you need to select n log n nodes, right? As a vertex cover. What's the optimal solution here? What's the optimal solution for this instance? You can guess, right? You already select the bottom layer, right? Then the optimal solution can select what? The top layer. Because you only have edges between the top layer and the bottom layer, right? If I select all the nodes in the top layer, then I can also cover all the edges, right? But your top layer only has n nodes. That's what's better than n log n, right? So here, what's the ratio? The ratio is log n, right? So if you compute the approximation ratio of this greedy algorithm, it is log n approximation ratio. Okay? Here. Right? So that means this greedy method cannot be better than log n approximation. That's not good. If you know how good approximation the vertex cover can be. Okay? Let's see. How good can another algorithm behave? Alright? So what's this algorithm? The algorithm is very easy. It says, okay, now I pick an arbitrary edge. Arbitrary edge. And then usually only need to take one endpoint, right, to cover this edge. But now I say, oh, I'm being very generous. I'm taking two. Both. Okay? Both endpoints of the selected edge. And then I remove all the edges that can be covered by these two vertices. Alright? And then in the second equation, I do a similar thing. Again, I pick an uncovered edge, take both endpoints, and then alright? So this is a very simple algorithm. Very, very simple algorithm. How good is this algorithm? Well, actually, if you write it in pseudocode, it's also very, very easy, right? Take an edge, take both endpoints, alright? And then remove everything that has any connection to these two vertices. Okay, So how good is this LC? Well, I'm going to use the whiteboard to explain a bit. Okay, so basically, your algorithm takes this hand. It takes a so-called matching. So if the algorithm go on for four rounds, then the edges the algorithm pick must be independent. They cannot have common vertex. That's not possible. For example, you cannot have this node same as this. It's not possible because when you pick the two nodes here, it will the algorithm will remove anything that has connection with this endpoint, right? So the second time you pick an edge, the endpoint cannot be the same as the endpoint of the first edge. Okay? So basically, you pick an edge, two nodes, and then everything that have connection to these two nodes are gone. Okay? And then the next edge you pick must be isolated from the first edge. Okay? They have no connection at all. Alright? So your algorithm will take something like this, a bunch of independent edges. Alright? Okay, any questions here? So the algorithm will never say, I take one edge here, and then I take another edge, which is somehow like this. That's not possible, right? Because this edge is already gone when you select this node, right? Okay? Well, good. So now, this is what your algorithm do. Then, that means your algorithm will select 2k nodes, right? Your algorithm select 2k nodes. How optimal solution? You don't know how many points optimal solution will take. But you know one thing. Optimal solution has to cover all these edges, right? So that means in the optimal solution, for every edge here, it needs to select at least one vertex, right? Otherwise the edge cannot be covered. So optimal solution will select how many edges, how many nodes. OPT will be one. This algorithm, right? ALG will be equal to 2k, right? And what is OPT? OPT is larger than or equal to k. Is that right? Because for all these k edges, OPT has to select one node from each of them, right? Okay? Now it becomes very obvious. OPT at least k. Algorithm is 2k. So you divide the algorithm by OPT, it becomes what? Less than 2, right? Less than or equal to 2. So the approximation ratio of this algorithm is 2. Twice the optimal solution. What? Right? Okay, well, you see, very simple algorithm, you can get a 2 approximation, right? I guess I will not need to go through with this. Just too easy, right? That's just too easy. Okay. Well, good news, right? You can do a 2 approximation for the vertex cover. Alright, so any question about this too? So I think that this too should be a relatively easy to understand approximation in all the topics we are going to cover. Alright? Okay. So now let's be a bit more ambitious to say, how about we add weight on top of the nodes or vertices? Okay? So now, for this same instance, probably you have weight 1 for the yellow vertex and weight 3 for the black vertex. Okay? So I want you to select a minimum weight collection of nodes to cover all the edges. Same story. The only difference is I add weight in, right? When you add weight in, it seems that you can no longer do tricks like the algorithm we just say, pick an edge, both points. It seems not working, right? Okay, so then what can we do? Well, then we can use the knowledge of so-called integer linear programming to formulate the problem. Okay? We use variable xi to represent whether I select node I or not. Okay? And then your vertex server just corresponds to an assignment of the xi value. If you assign xi to v1, then select this node. Right? If no, if 0, I do not select it. And then your objective function becomes the summation of weight of node I multiplying xi. So that means if you select node I, xi will be 1. And this one will be multiplied to wi. And this wi will show up in the objective function, right? You consume such weight. Okay? And then the constraint is easy. Constraint says for every x, first time, or might be the first time you see the same domain program. I will show you the constraint. It's very, very smart. It's just the xi plus xj larger than equal to 1. Okay? Remember, xi is 0 or 1, right? So, if this constraint is satisfied, that means xi, xj, at least one of them is 1. If both are 0, this constraint cannot be satisfied, right? So at least one of the xi or xj is 1. That corresponds to what? At least one endpoint is selected for every edge, right? So this constraint basically applies for every edge. As long as you have a connection between two nodes, you have such a constraint. Okay? Well, so overall, the formulation looks like this. Very easy formulation, right? Minimization of the summation of weightings, sum of xi, subject to, so this st means subject to these constraints. So this ij is an edge in the graph. Right? Okay. Now, any question? Now, very soon, entering the first in-class exercise. Okay? Pay attention to that. Okay. Now, what's the general format of integer linear program? It looks like this, a bit more general, right? Minimizing the weighted sum of xj, subject to this constraint, right? And then xj larger than equal to 0, and then xj is integral, okay? So this is a general format. And usually, if you have learned the mathematical course of integer or linear programming before, you know that actually this constraint can be written as a matrix A times X larger than or equal to a vector B. Okay, so, but again, we are not doing this in the class, so don't worry about the formality of the linear program. But there is some good news. The good news is, because vertex cover is MDR, alright? So, what can we conclude? We can conclude integer linear programming is NP-hard in general. Okay, remember my description, okay? Integer linear programming problem is NP-hard in general. But very often, if someone do not learn algorithms, then they claim the following thing. Say, okay, I have a problem. This problem, I can formulate it into an integer linear program, okay? Then they say, oh, then this problem must be NP-hard. Is it correct? Something can be formulated as one specific integer linear program, right? And then they say, oh, because integer linear program is NP-hard. So my problem is NP-hard. This is very dangerous. Okay? So this is actually my first in-class exercise for the first half of the semester. Okay? Can you find one problem which is easy, meaning you can find polynomial time error, okay? But at the same time, you can formulate your problem into an integer linear program formulation, all right? Now, clear about the question? Find one easy problem. Formulate that problem, so the problem can be formulated into an integer linear programming formulation. Something like this, some special C, some special A, and some special B. Alright? Okay? Clear? Alright. Okay, first thing. But, you know, integer linear programming is hard in general. How to solve it? Well, people usually relax the integral constraint to be linear. So in other words, they will consider the relaxation of integer linear programming to be linear programming. Now, everything is the same, except they remove this last constraint. Integral constraint. Gone. Xi can be fractional, okay? Can be 0.73, anything. Alright? So when that happens, actually there are a lot of methods that can solve the problem, starting from simplex, which is exponential, but very quick in practice. You also have the ellipsoid method, which is polynomial time, slow. But then you also have interior point method, which is polynomial time, and also fast. Practical. Okay? Now, of course, these are, again, not our focus. You will probably use it later on when you, in a the later phase of your study or work. Okay? Yeah, anyway. Alright, so for weighted vertex solver problems, after we have this integer linear program formulation, what do we do? So we first relax this one to be a linear constraint, a constraint xi larger than equal to 0. No integral constraint. Okay? And then we solve this to the optimality. So we solve this linear program and get the so-called optimal solution x star. Okay? Remember, this x star can be fraction, can be 0 by something, right? Okay? Well, but this is not a valid solution because, for example, if I have a triangle, then I assign every xi to be 1/2. Then the constraint, xi plus xj larger than equal to 1, it holds for every edge, right? Half plus half at least 1. Half plus half at least 1. Right? So, but this does not help us to select the solution because half for every node, what does it mean? I don't know what it means, right? Okay? It's not a valid solution. Okay. Now, we're going to do some trick. First of all, the x star solution you selected, you computed here, it is a lower bound of the actual optimal solution for the integer linear program. So in other words, because you have less constraints, right? You see, compared to the model here, right? If I relax to this, then it means I have less constraint on xi, then of course your objective value can only be better, right? I have larger searching space, right? And then your objective can only become better. So the achieved value here, OPTLP, must be better than the original optimal solution for the integer linear program. This, I guess, you agree, right? Less constraint, then better solution. Okay? Okay. Well, what's next? The next one is, we're going to use this x star to derive a valid integral solution, which means I need to have a solution which really selects somebody, right? Really selects somebody. And what should I do then? Actually, you can have a very good guess. Usually when you see fractional number, how to change it to integer? The very natural method is to do rounding, right? When you are half, right? Or half. You have less than half, go down. Okay? So for half, you go upgrade to 1, right? And for 0.49, right? They downgrade to 0. Alright? Okay, so we'll do this. For example, for the triangle here, then it means every vertex will be selected, right? Because each of them is half, right? So it means upgrade every half to C1. So this rounding solution actually is very good. Let's see how good it is. Alright? Okay, so we select all the node I whose xi value, xi star value is at least half. I select them into my solution, right? So this is the rounding solution. Now let's see how good this solution is compared to the optimal solution. Well, what's the optimal? What's the solution you get? The solution you get is the S, right? S. WS is the weight of your solution. You add up all the WI of that set, right? Okay. Now first of all, you will know that this solution is a valid vertex couple. Oh, why is that? If I upgrade every half or above to 1, then it still satisfies the constraints larger than or equal to 1. Why is that? Well, that one is actually pretty easy. Why? Because you see, the constraint looks like that, right? And then if some constraint is satisfied, that means these two variables, at least one of them is larger than or equal to half. Right? It cannot be the case that the both of them are smaller than half. Then it's not possible they add up to be larger than equal to 1, right? Okay? So if some two values add up to a 1 or above, then at least one of them is at least half, right? Okay? So that means that one, because that one is at least half, so that one, after rounding, will be selected in your solution, right? So that becomes 1, and then your constraint is still satisfied, right? Somebody becomes 1, of course, the constraint is still good. So, all the constraints, they are still satisfied, right? Okay, but the one thing, x is valid. Now next thing, x is what? Weight of s is pretty good, right? It's very small. Because we want to find the minimum weight vertex, all right? Okay, why is it small? Let's see. We are trying to show WS is less than or equal to 2 times the optimal linear product solution. Right? How to show it? Now, first of all, linear program solution, it's adding all the nodes, their xi star, multiplying wi, right? Okay. Now, this is your optimal, right? This is the optimal. If I remove some vertex, so I say, I for those vertex, I do not assign them any value, then the value can only become smaller, right? Okay, it can only become smaller. So that's why you say, then if I restrict the domain to be within S, then the weight is even smaller. Now next, this part. Because every xi star in S, it satisfies this condition, right? Because I only select those xi star whose value is large, at least half, right? So you know, xi star is larger than or equal to half. Is that right? Okay? Larger than or equal to half. And then this, what is this? This is WS. You see that? This is WS, this is the weight of your set S. So the weight of the set S, if you multiply this 2 over to this side, it becomes 2 times OBT, right? This is OBT, right? This is OBT. So in the end, we have the relation. So basically, show that the weight of WS is less than or equal to 2 times this OBT. Now on the other hand, you know, remember, optimal solution of linear program is less than or equal to optimal solution for the integer linear program, right? Okay, that's the true optimal. So your solution selected will be at most twice the optimal solution, right? So that finishes the proof of the two approximation, even for weighted vertex coupling, right? Okay, well, so this is another way to show the two approximation. Now, any question? The main idea is just you upgrade some value to 1, but the value you upgrade, they already reach half, right? They're already half. So the upgrade operation you do, just double the value. You will never be more, right? Just only double. So that's the rationale, right? Okay. Well, and then we have talked about the approximation of 2 from above, right? And then people also show that you cannot do very good approximation for the server, especially if P is not equal to MP, you cannot do better than 1.3606 approximation. Now, if you assume some even stronger assumption, like you need gain conjecture, if you assume that one is true, then you cannot do better than 2 minus epsilon approximation. Okay, you cannot do this. So 2 minus epsilon is very close to 2. So basically, it tells you 2 approximations probably is the best you can do. And then you already have 2 methods achieving 2 approximations, right? Okay? Well, at least, for weighted, only 1 method, right? But for unweighted, we already have 2 methods achieving 2 approximations. So that's the best you can do. And this is also some points you can use to persuade your future boss that your design is the best possible. Nobody can beat that, right? Because there are no bounds, right? No one can beat that. Okay, then yours is best, right? Okay. Well, so next one, we'll talk about the very interesting set cover problem, right? What is set cover? Set cover is also easy. Let me show you an example. So we have a bunch of elements. So these black dots, they are elements. Okay. And you have a set of some subsets of elements, like S1 covering 6 elements, S2 covering 4, S6 covering 3, and then S3, S4, S5 covering 4 elements. Alright. So all these S, they are inputs. They are given to you. Alright? What's your job? Your job is to pick some S to cover all the elements. Okay? And they will say, oh, then I pick all, right? I pick all, of course I can cover all the elements. Now, you have another objective. You have to use the minimum number. inset cover, here, in this instance, the best solution is this. You choose three vertical subsets, right? You can cover all the elements. Good. But it's not difficult. It's not easy to find these three. All right? It's not easy. Optimal is not easy. But usually we use greedy algorithm. So what's the most natural greedy algorithm you'll use here? When you select those subsets, what's the criteria? For example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? If you see that one first, which one do you see that first? Yeah, I heard one, right? Why one? Yeah, you can cover most points, right? One can cover 6 points. Oh, that's very good. Other people can only cover 4 or 3. Too few, right? Okay? So one can cover most number of points, maybe see that one first. Now again, it's a review of greedy, right? Greedy algorithm, every time you pick the seemingly best option, right? Can cover a lot of things, right? Most number of points. Okay, so let's check an example. Okay, so you choose S1 first, right? And then after you choose S1, you will remove all the points covered by S1. And then in the remaining subsets, you pick somebody, right? And then which one do you pick now?
Six.
Very good, because 6 can cover 3 points, but all the other they can cover 2 points, right? Okay, so you pick 6 next. And then after pick 6, the next one you pick is 2. Very good, right? Because now 2 can cover 2 points, but all the others don't cover 1 point, right? Okay, so then you choose 2. And finally you choose 3. Okay, so you see, by doing this, you select 4 subsets, right? So, algorithm is 4, optimal 3. So the ratio is what? 4 divided by 3. Okay? Well, but this is only for the specific example, right? It's not for the general case. So how bad this greedy algorithm can be for set cover problem? Well, let's see. Actually, the ratio is log n. Right? That's a very bad ratio, right? Because remember when we call a vertex cover, we say, if you do greedy A, you can only achieve log n. At that time, I told you it's not good, right? Because we later on have two approximations. But this one, I told you, it's also log n, right? Maybe it's not good, but you will know very soon whether it's good or not. But anyway, let's figure out whether we can prove this log n approximation ratio. We want to show it from the positive side first. We will not go beyond log n, right? Well, the proof logic actually is very, very interesting. Okay? Now let's see. What's the proof logic? So the proof logic is the following. Suppose optimal solution only selects k subsets. Okay? K subsets. Now, your greedy algorithm, what does it do? Every time it takes the best subset, right, that can cover the most number of points, remaining points for them. Now, actually, this is very good. Why? Because, let me draw a figure here. Because you can imagine optimal, say, select k subsets, they cover all the points, right? Okay, this is k subsets, they cover all the points, right? Now, let's see the first iteration. Greedy select another one, maybe not anyone here, okay? Greedy does not select anyone here, it select another one, say, this one. So this is greedy. Okay, so this is greedy. But, what's the conclusion? Optimal select k subsets cover all the points. That means one of the candidates in optimal selection can cover at least 1 over k points, or 1 over k n points. So you see I draw 5 sets here, right? So if it's 5, then at least one of the subsets can cover 1 over 5 n points. Is that correct? Optimal select 5, right? Okay? Can cover all the points. What's all the points? All the points is n points, right? And then optimal select 5 subsets can cover n points. Then there must be one set in optimal selection that cover at least 1 over 5 n points. Is that right? Good. Now what's this? This one is greedy choice, right? So the number of points greedy choice can cover can only be better than any one of the 5 in optimal selection. Is that right? Okay. So that means this greedy solution, it also can cover at least one more part n, right? Okay. So now we know, in the first situation, greedy select one subset. And this subset can cover at least 1 over k fraction of the points, right? Okay, so with this, you know, oh, after this round, how many points are remaining? Only this number of points, right? N times 1 minus 1 over k. Because 1 over k fraction is already covered by your first set in the greedy solution, right? Okay, only so much remaining. This is analysis for the first round. How about second round? Second round, the story didn't change. Only some points are missing, right? Some points are already gone. You have remaining points in the plane, right? For the remaining points, these five optimal subsets can still cover them all, right? Is it right? Okay? And then you are selecting a greedy choice, which is the best at the current moment. Because it's best, so it can only be better than any one of the five. So the second round selection by the greedy can still cover at least 1 over 5 fraction of the remaining points. Is that right? Okay, good. Then you have one more step. Okay, now, after the second round, you only have so many points left. You multiply another 1 minus 1 over k. Because another 1 over k fraction is gone, right? Okay? Then it's become very easy. I just continue. After t rounds, I will already have so many points left. Alright? The only thing I need to make guarantee is that I want to choose some t such that this value is less than 1. If it's less than 1, that means no points left. Right? Okay? Well, then you can take t to be k log n. And then, using some mathematic calculation, right, you will see this one is less than n times 1 over e log n, and then this is equal to 1, which means this part is less than 1. Alright? And done. You show that after log n, after k log n rounds, you cover all the points. Alright? You will cover all the points. What's the optimal solution? Optimal solution is k, right? Remember? So you use this value divided by k, it becomes what? Log n, right? Then you show greedy algorithm, it can achieve log n approximation, right? Okay, nice. So basically, we finished the proof of the log n. Now, for set cover, log n is actually very good. Because FIDO showed that unless some very unlikely happening event happens, this log n is the best possible you can achieve. So basically, you cannot do better than 1 minus epsilon times log n approximation for set cover. In other words, it tells you greedy algorithm is the best algorithm for set cover. Although the ratio is not good. Right?